Thanks for staying with me. Remember, this is the 20th year of the radio station, mytalk1071.com. So that means it's the 20th year for my show, too.
Hey.
Isn't that something? I just still can't believe it. Hey, word banana comes from England, Portuguese, Italian, or Arabic?
Portuguese, maybe. I'm going with that.
Okay, and you're staying with that. And it's wrong. It's Arabic.
Arabic.
Yes, even though there are some sources that say word banana comes from Portuguese, it most likely to be true that it actually comes from Arabic. In Arabic language, word banana can be translated as a finger. Okay, we have always learned that a cluster of bananas is called a hand, while each banana inside it is called a finger.
Oh, didn't know that.
So there you go. You know, there you go. Love my bananas. Okay, don't forget, hey, let's go. 651-641-1071. 651-641-1071 with your questions. It'd be greatly appreciated. And who's up next?
All right, we have Sue on the line. She has a question on separation anxiety.
Ooh, a lot of dogs are dealing with that, especially with COVID. Hey, Sue, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, Katie. How about you?
Good, good. So what kind of puppy are we talking about?
Well, I have a 16-year-old puggle that, I'll give you a real quick background. Yes, COVID made us even closer than we were before with me working from home. And he was recently diagnosed with a collapsed trachea, so he's on some drugs now.
Yep.
But this poor guy, I can't leave the room. I mean, he looks for me all the time. He has to know where I am all the time. If I go upstairs, he'll sit at the bottom of the stairs and whine. Mm-hmm. The thing that breaks my heart is when I have to leave the house. Mm-hmm. I've left the TV on for him, but I can hear him howling in his bed.
Oh, yeah.
I know, and it's just, you know, the sight's going, the hearing's going.
Yep.
I know he's declining, you know, like he's my best friend.
Right.
But it's just breaking my heart.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I got to leave sometimes.
Okay. A couple of things that you can try. Take a shirt of yours, you know, wear it for a day or whatever, and then put that on his bed. So when he goes to the bed, your smell is right there.
Okay.
And so, you know, obviously you can rotate that once a week, you know, you're putting a different old shirt on, you know, type thing. But anyway, so that helps a lot of dogs because even though they can't smell or see as well, that it's kind of like I get to snuggle with mom. All right.
Okay.
And then another thing, and you know, as far as like the TV and because when their hearing's decline, you know, they may not hear much of it. It's more for us that we feel like they're not alone. they do hear like different pitches at times. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's what I would lean more towards. What I would do is do this during the course of the week. Now, has this dog ever been kenneled?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because then what I would do is during the week when you are home, wherever his bed is, start putting, you know, your old shirt with your smell on it and see if he's like, you'll find him on it. You know, even though you are walking from room to room, he's okay with being curled up with your scent on that bed of his, all right?
Okay.
And then what you can do is you can pick him up if he's following you and just put him back in the bed and just stand there for a little bit, pet him for a little bit so you can just kind of see him relax. Yeah. And then when he starts sniffing the bed, then just kind of slowly back off. Right.
Okay.
And so just kind of try that, you know, to try to help him. And you could do a couple of places in the house. If you have a couple places that are his favorite,
then he's got multiple beds.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And then, like I say, just take multiple old clothes because all you have to do is take, you know, so it doesn't even have to be your clothes per se. You know, like I say, work for a couple hours or whatever, and then rub it all over you and then put it on his bed.
Okay.
Okay. And so, but that's the main thing. So that he's, because right now as they get older, you know, when they lose their hearing and their sight, they depend so much on their smell that their smell is even more heightened, even though they have a good smell anyway. And so that's why, like, if he's got like you in a couple different places in the house as he's wandering looking for you, that might help him just kind of like, oh, she's here. Well,
she's here.
Kind of.
And it's only me.
Yeah.
I mean, he could care less if any of the other family is around.
Yep. You're his human.
So I am.
You are the
my
human.
Guy.
Yep.
Do you think that, you know, he's on he's on an opioid now for his trachea.
Yeah.
Would that increase any type of separation?
Definitely. He could be having some nightmares or something like that, restlessness.
That's what I'm,
And so what you can try is Amy I don't know if it's Amy Williams DeLong or Amy William. Let's see, Amy DeLong Williams. I can't remember. Amy AMY, and then DeLong is DELONG. And so, like, it's either Amy Williams DeLong or Amy William DeLong Williams.com. And she's kind of the guru of oils. All right.
Oh,
and so
okay.
she might be able to concoct a concoction for that you can put, like, what you usually do is you put a little bit on your hands and then you just kind of go along the sides of their face, you know, with it. And so that will help that smell to take away any anxieties and such like that. But you want to give her the meds that he is on. Does he seem like he's gotten worse since he's been on the meds?
You know, it's hard to say, I think, sometimes, but I just think it's like the perfect storm. You know, I was home all the time, and now I'm retired, and now I think his little legs aren't as strong as they are. I think he just feels real vulnerable.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, definitely.
It's like he just... Yeah, he's looking for mom. All
right, as they're failing their hearing and their eyesight.
Yeah.
You know that they do is they need comfort, and some you know, some dogs need more, and so they're constantly looking for you and that. But that's why, like I say, by putting you around the house, so as he's walking around the house looking for you, that he does find something of you, and so that that might just it's not the real warm one, but I can be okay with this.
I know. You know, I'm planning a trip for like 10 days, and I don't want him to. Die of loneliness.
Yeah, but then make sure you got some.
I will definitely try that.
Make sure then, before you go, you know, that you really get some of yourself oiled into some clothes.
I will.
But say during the day, you know, just kind of like pick him up and just kind of put him in one of his beds, you know, just kind of stand there and just pat him a little bit and just slowly back off. Because when he starts sniffing the bed, that's a good thing. Okay. And then just slowly kind of back off. And just by you placing him in there, and then hopefully he'll get more relaxed with that. And then hopefully he won't be following you around as much. And that's what we're after here.
Okay. I'll try it. I'll keep you posted.
Okay. That sounds like a wiener. I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Okay.
Good luck, kiddo. Take care.
All right. Thanks.
Bye bye. Yeah, that's, you know, anytime like your dog is having some separation anxiety, whether you use a kennel or whatever, the best thing you can do is take some of your old clothes and then wear them for a day if they fit. Otherwise, just kind of rub yourself on them for a while, sit on them, whatever type thing. And then put that in the kennel or like in the dog's bed, because the main thing of the world is to a dog is through their nose. You know, that's, you know, just like even humans though, you know, certain smells bring back really big memories. I mean, things that you haven't thought about forever, and all of a sudden you get a whiff of something and all these memories come flying back. And that's why, so that's what the sniffer is, a huge help. It can be a helper or a hinder. But, because if you smell something really rancid, you don't want to smell that. But, so that's why by having, a lot of kennels won't allow people to bring things in from the person's house, because what the kennels are worried about is somebody bringing something in that has fleas, whether it's a bed, whether it's toys, whatever type thing, or a towel or something like that. They're worried about, you know, bringing in fleas into their kennel. And so that's why, you know, especially with older ones and such like that, I really wish that you'd look into, like, there's rover.com. You know, and that's where other old dog owners, you watch my dog when I go, and I'll watch your dog when you go. And so there's just so many different people. You can talk to people at church. There might be somebody that's, you know, that babysits dogs, you know, instead of going to a kennel. Because the old dogs don't understand going to a kennel when they're older. So that's really important to either find a house sitter when you leave, or then find somebody that, you know, can come in, or that dog can go to their house. But the biggest thing is to give them some clothes that you wore that has your scent on it to make it more cozy for them. And then you make sure, I don't tell the people or whoever's more, I don't care if the dog pees on this or whatever, do not wash it under any circumstances. Okay, because then it's going to wash out the smells that, you know, even that the dog has been so endearing themselves to. And that goes with cats too at times. And many cats, if you give them an article of clothing for you when you're gone, they will curl up, you know, on that. And so that's why, like I say, smell is a powerful thing. So use that to your advantage is what you want. Okay. And then now getting back to finicky eaters. All right. As far as you remember now, when you go to doctor it up, you just change the smell of that food. And that's why the dog's going to eat it. And so that's why if you learn to buy smaller bags, smaller stuff and rotate more often, you're not going to have that problem with a fit IQ either. Most dogs, it's after 3 days. The first 3 days, they love it. The fourth day, they're kind of starting to, eh. Now, you remember in 2007, the melamine poisoning that killed a lot of dogs, both the cats and dogs? And the dogs are, and the cats are eating their food, and then all of a sudden, they quit eating it. And then people started doctoring it up because they're finicky eaters. Well, how dare you walk away from your dish? But believe it or not, during that, the dogs and the cats are actually saying, hey, there's something wrong with this food. But then by you doctoring up, boy, then they dove right back into it. And so that's why that was one of the main things with the melamine poison, that people noticed that their dog and cat quit eating. And then, like I said, then they felt bad when they were doctoring up. Then the dog could not smell the problem. Or the cat, and then I wound up dying from the melamine poisoning. So that's why, you know, pay attention as far as is he just kind of, you're feeding the same thing all the time, or is there something wrong with the food? Because and at any time, any food, just like in the human world, can be, you know, not good. You can get a candy bar that maybe sat in the sun and is all white. No, can't buy that. You get an orange, you crack it open, and it's kind of dry in the inside. So that's the whole thing is that, you know, dogs can't say, hey, there's something wrong with this food. They say that by walking away from the dish. But you've got to know whether it's finicky or if it's because you've been feeding the same thing all the time, or if there's something truly where the dog is not a picky eater. I mean, you mean he can eat anything but the kitchen sink, and but he's walking away from his dish. There's a problem with food. So maybe buy another bag, see what's going on. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. You got a good, hello, person on the other side of glass.
Yeah, sorry.
That we have things to do. Okay, in the past, that bluebell's juice was used as food, paint, glue, poison. In the past, bluebell's juice was used as, and we'll be back. We're back. Yay. Boy, I'll tell you, today went pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I see you come back. All is right with the universe and time just flies.
Yeah, all right.
So anyway. Okay, in the past, bluebell's juice was used as a food, a paint, glue, or poison.
Let's go paint.
It was a glue.
Ooh.
Bluebells smell nice and look amazing, but they weren't only used for decorations. Actually, bluebells were very important for winning the war in the medieval wars.
Oh.
Since their juice was used as the glue for fastening the flight feathers on arrows.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they go, who knew? Bluebell's juice is glue. Interesting. But I bet you they smell good going through the air.
Yeah, right.
All right. Who's up?
All right. So we have Brenda on the line, and she has a dietary question.
I know I'm too fat. I got to go on a diet. But anyway, hi there. How you doing? Hello? Oh, we lost?
Oh, Brenda, are you there?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about a dietary thing.
Okay.
First off, KDK9, thank you so much for being on the air for so long. Love you.
Thank you so much for your kind words.
And absolutely. And I know you've talked about chicken grit in the past for versus instead of using the salt.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, I just bought my second bag.
Okay.
And the first one was chicken. And this one, I thought, oh, my dog's a little chihuahua mix and he's got littler feet and he's, so I got the chick grit. Is that, did I do wrong?
Because there's chicken grit number 1, 2, and 3. Okay. And chicken grit number 1 is really, really fine.
Okay.
And then chicken grit number 2 is more like, kind of looks like little triangles, little tiny chips of rock is what it looks like.
Okay.
And then chicken grit number 3 is a bigger, it's more of a little pebble is what it is. And there's also what's called chicken grit number 2 is also called traction grit when you buy it at the hardware store. They call it traction grit, and they usually sell it like in 25 pounds. Whereas at the feed mill, when you get the chicken grit, it's usually 50 pounds. So, you know, so that's what it is. Because what it is just the basically that you don't slip. Because obviously they were too big, you know, that chicken grit number 3. That'd be too big. It wouldn't stop you. Now, chicken grit number 2, you know, works great. But then on the finer one, chicken 1, it just depends on the ice. That helps also. So it just depends.
Okay, so since I made the mistake of getting the number 1, I should probably get a number 2 and kind of mix them together. Would that be
good? Oh, you could do that. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be really good. Yeah, no problem.
Next question, and sorry, I thought of another one.
Oh, that's fine.
I was on hold. My next one is that, I have my little dog, he's almost 14, and he likes to stare at me immensely when I'm sitting in my chair eating when I'm home, and is underfoot a lot. Is there anything that I can do about that?
Well, when you're ready to eat, you know, because my guess is that there's been some times during the year that you've shared at the time you were eating.
Yeah.
And so that creates the beggar to sit and stare you down. Will you please share? And so what I usually do is I always, when I'm going to eat, you know, Gilligan is either downstairs or in his kennel so that I can eat in peace. And then when I go, I'm going to the sink. Okay. Then he's learned that I'll sometimes hit what I, you know, like to lick the plate off. I will put it on the counter and then I'll go do something. And so then he's sniffing down below and blah, blah. And then when he least expects it, then I go back and then I'll call him and I'll put the plate down. So he doesn't see me like finish eating and then he gets the routine, then runs to where I would put the plate down. He's not sure when it's going to come. He doesn't associate me eating and him getting that plate anymore. All right.
And so should I be putting him in the kennel then when I'm eating?
That's what I would do. I would put him in a kennel so he can't give you the stare down because who can resist that, right? And so that's why you're just better off. You know, mom's going to eat. You just settle down. I'll get back to you in a little bit. And then when you get done eating, then you're going to maybe let him lick the plate. Then what you want to do is just put the plate on the counter, let him out, and just kind of like, he'll probably run over by the sink. He knows your routine. And then when he seems insincere, he's going to check the floor for crumbs. And then when he seems disinterested, like maybe you went and got a glass of water or now you've gone to another room, then kind of come back and then call him and then put the dish down on the floor if you want him to lick off the plate. Okay. But now he doesn't associate it that it was because you just got done eating and then you let him out of the kennel because they know our routines almost better than we know our routines. And so that's why. So if you want to disrupt that, then disrupt it. Whereas he doesn't associate one thing for the other thing. Okay.
Okay. Awesome.
Because yeah,
and the third question I had was, I had him in and I forget for what and the vet told me, oh, he needs some teeth taken out.
Okay.
And he had 6 teeth taken out.
Okay.
And so he recommended these tartar things that, they sold there. Hmm. Well, they don't smell like anything decent. They smell like ugh. And and like the other food, you know, that you said that, you know, they ate it for a few days and then they don't want it anymore.
Yep.
After about a week or so of giving him like a third of this piece of one, he'd chew it when we went to bed. But now he's not really interested in them. You had mentioned before about getting a bone at the butcher, but what size should I get for his tiny little mouth? I
right.
mean, the little chihuahua guy.
Yeah, well, he's so little, that's really tough bone. You can get like a lamb bone, lamb bones, or you have to ask your butcher if he can get them for you. Okay. Because those are the ones I had to get Gilligan and Ethel because they're, you know, a fraction of the size of the cow bones. Okay.
Right.
And so that's what I did, lamb bones, because they come in different sizes too. Also too, you can get, you could take like a little piece of gauze and wrap it around either your baby finger or whatever finger, and then just kind of go in the side of the mouth and just kind of go back and forth. You know, you don't have to go through the whole mouth at one time. They also have this little brush that you can put on your baby finger or any finger. The one I've got is kind of greenish, kind of turquoise. It's got all these little tiny little brushes on it. They're just rubber brushes. And so now I use that and Gilligan tolerates that. And so that's why, that way you're kind of brushing the teeth and, you know, getting that layer of tartar off. But and like I said, you don't have to sit down and do the whole mouth at one time. You know, if you only do it when the dog is tired, okay? Don't do it the first thing in the morning because it ain't going to work. But just get the dog used to your finger going in and just kind of going tink, tink, and done. Okay, and then maybe you do the bottom tooth, tink, tink, and you're done. You know, back, forth, and then done. And then another time, back, forth, done. And so then being that he's losing teeth here, all right, that's going to disrupt also how he chews. And so, and so that's why what I would do more so to try to brush them in a way, either with gauze wrapped around your finger or one of those little brushes, okay? I don't like the brushes. Can you hold on? We gotta run to break, so hold on. Don't hang up, okay? Let's see. There is a garden full of poisonous plants in England. True or false? We'll be back. Alrighty then. There is a garden full of poisonous plants in England. True or false?
It's got to be true.
It is. This garden is not for a romantic walk with a girlfriend. The Alwick Gardens in comply by Alwick Castle in Northumberland, England. It exhibits deadly plants as well as many narcotic plants like marijuana.
Oh,
jeez. So there you go. There's a garden full of poison plants. Let me, Marticia probably runs that, of the Addams Family.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go back to Brenda.
Yep. Brenda, you still there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
There you go. You betcha. You betcha. Okay, what were you, when I had to get to a break, what were you saying then?
Awesome. I was wondering, do you need to put any pet toothpaste on there, or can you just use just plain?
I don't. What I do sometimes, you know, like maybe every third time, because I don't do it every day. You know, I just do it maybe three times a week. You know, I putz with his teeth. But you could put, make a little tiny paste of baking soda. Okay, and then put that on it, but not a lot. You know, you just got small teeth here, okay, so not a lot. Don't take a mouthful of baking soda. But they do have, toothpaste for dogs that have, you know, beef flavor or whatever type thing. I tried the toothbrush a couple of times, and to me it was a pain in the butt because the dog wanted to chew on it. And then he's trying to chew while I'm trying to brush. I just found by using my fingers with a little bit of gauze, and going back and forth, I thought that worked good. And then these finger brushes, those I think work really nice too. So instead of using the actual toothbrush, because there are some dogs that'll let you, and they almost smile like, got it? You got it? But anyway, and so that's why you just got to, and the whole thing is just do baby steps. Don't sit down and try to get it all done at one time. Just, you know, one side one day, one the other side, upper or lower. You know, and just kind of, and sometimes if you're lucky because you got a small mouth, not you, the dog. No, but anyway, that, you know, sometimes you can actually with one finger get both, you know, both, you know, at the top and the bottom on one side. And then don't forget to get the gums too, though, not just the teeth, because the gums are very important in it. Okay.
And we have to work outside and the inside of the teeth, just like we do on our own.
It's up to yourself. You know, at least if you can get the outside, that's great. You know, but just baby step it, you know, so then pretty soon the dog could care less if your finger is in his mouth. And then you can pretty near do anything and things. That's great. Just don't gag him, though. Awesome. Okay.
You are awesome. Thank you
so much.
You. I appreciate it. And I hope you have the best of Valentine's Day, and in case I can't call in need anything to call in for the rest of the year, have a great every holiday.
Well, thank you. Back at you. Bye-bye.
And stay healthy. Thank you.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye, Brenda. That was very nice.
Yeah, that was really sweet.
We got
sweet.
Such nice listeners. It's so awesome. Okay, who's up next?
All right, so we have Julie on the line, and she has a raw diet question.
All right. Hi, Julie. How you doing?
I'm great, Katie. How are you?
Good, good. What can I do for you?
So I have a 3.5-year-old black lab who has COVID 10 or 15, I think. She's overweight, even though she's very active and, you know, still an energetic puppy-ish. But so my friend suggested putting her on a raw diet, and I've been doing some research, and I've, you know, seen different versions of, you know, give them half kibble and half the raw, or just another website said skip a meal and go straight to the raw.
Okay.
And I'm wondering what your recommendation
is. Every dog is different. And obviously input, output. The big thing, like cats and dogs, and it happens in humans too. Some people are more carb sensitive than others. You know, somebody can eat boxes and boxes of potato chips and it doesn't show up anywhere. And one person has a half a box and it shows up everywhere, okay?
Yeah.
Because that person is more carb sensitive. And so dogs and cats, there's a lot of cats are really carb sensitive. Carb sensitive means is that if you give any kind of carb, it's going to go straight to the hips, all right? So the best thing that you can do, obviously you got to cut back what you feed, you know, how the amount. But what you want to do is, when people are trying to get weight off of dogs especially, I say go, go raw and then go dehydrated. Okay, dehydrated is like army rations, and all you do is add water because it's a fraction of the carbs compared to dry food. All right. So you can, but now at any change, you always got to rotate it in. You can't just pull one away and then give another one, because then you're going to run a chance with getting the runs, okay?
Yeah.
And so that's,
I didn't think that was a good idea.
Yeah, no, because it's a very seldom, very few dogs can do that where you take one away and then and there's no problem. You know, where if you just go one from the other. And so with, and cats change hard, so you got to always rotate that in. But how many pounds? Because you don't feed according to what the dog weighs. You remember what the dog looked good at, okay? And then and then feed according to that, but then cut that back. How old is the dog?
She'll be 4 in May.
Okay.
She was 13 months when we got her, and she weighed 50 pounds. And then she matured a little bit, but she's up to 69.
Ooh.
And it's like, that's a big growth.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like she should be a 60-ish kind of weight.
Yep. Good. I'm proud of you for doing this. And so what you want to do, though, is that you, because when a dog, in the dog world, you know, in the human world, when we start menopause, man, our bodies just go whack-a-doodle. We got places where we never knew that they could put fat, okay? But the thing is that, and that's what happens when dogs hit 3 years old, they are done growing, and all you need to do is maintain. And so usually whatever you fed them up to a three-year-old, a three-year mark, when they get three and better, you literally cut the food in half. And that's what you feel.
Yeah, I've minimized her ration, but it's not coming off like I want it to, you know.
Right.
Someone told me, feed them what you want them to weigh, not what the bag says for what
exactly.
They weigh.
Yeah, very good. Yep. No, that's
I
good.
I like that.
But yeah, it is. But so then what you're going to do, if the input, now how hard have you, I mean, how long have you been trying to get weight off the dog?
Just a few months. I think I bought a bag of, you know, whatever weight loss food, and it just says, you know, 2.5 instead of 3 cups. I'm like, well, that's just less. It's not a special food. It's
right. Right. Because because if you want the weight to come off going some raw and then also like dehydrated. I use Bravo because it also has like green beans and such like that in there, and good, you know, stuff. And I just like their formula because it's, yeah.
Where do you get that?
Bravo. At any of your, Pet Evolution, Atlas Pet Supply, any of your mom and pop shops. Chuck and Don's.
Dehydrated.
Yep, it's dehydrated. It's called Bravo. It's like Army rations. There's a lot of them out there, but most of them are potato base. And too much starch in a dog's diet is not good for them. They don't deal well with starch. So that's why I like the Bravo, because they've got, you know, it's got the meat, it's got sweet potatoes, squash, green beans, cranberries. It's got a lot of good stuff in there. And so then what you just do is, there again, on the back, you know, because she's 3 years old and older, whatever they would tell you to feed a 60-pound dog, and then cut that in half and go from there, okay? And then feel your dog once a week. I do mine every Sunday when I get home from the radio show. I stand Gilligan, and then I run my hand from his shoulder along his ribs to his waist, okay? And I want to be able to feel the casing of the ribs, but I should.
Yeah, I know that.
But I should not have gaps in the ribs.
That's the problem.
Yeah, see, so you'll be able to see it right away when you just stand above her and look down. She's not a sausage from the shoulder to the butt.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so a little bit of that, and it would be good. And just get off of all the processed food for right now, okay? Because remember that all your processed food, dry food, is at least 50 to 60% carbs. So it sounds like you have a carb sensitive dog. And, and what you can do too is that, you can have a blood test done, and then, but you have to ask for this, a thyroid test. Cause some dogs are hypo, you know, hypo means it's underactive thyroid. Hyper means overactive. So overactive would be too thin a dog. Underactive would be too fat a dog. If it doesn't equal to what you're feeding, if you really are really genuine about what you're feeding and the weight is just kind of hanging in there, you know, then it's like maybe he's got a high, you know, underactive thyroid. But give it another month before you start racing in and just see how it goes, okay?
So skip the raw and go to the dehydrated.
Well, you can go to you can go, do some raw. Do some raw too. Do a little bit of both. Do raw and that, okay? But just don't overfeed either one, okay? Because otherwise you're not going to.
Is it dehydrated or freeze dried? I'm writing it down now.
No, freeze. You said the raw, and then you're going to do dehydrated. Dehydrated is like Army rations, okay?
Yes.
Okay. And see, and then raw, like I say, just start out with giving like a pinch here and a pinch there so the dog gets used to the richness of it. And then just rotate things in so he doesn't get the runs, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to try something new.
There you go. And you're going to love it. They're going to love it. But just don't overfeed it, because that's what's, you know, use a smaller bowl. So it doesn't look like you have to
add. Slow feed bowl.
Okay, no, we don't. Yeah, we're not going to do a slow feed bowl anymore. She's going to have a bowl of her own.
She just inhales her food.
Okay, yeah, but that, with kibble, that's bad, because they're swallowing that nugget whole, and then now it's got to be rehydrated in their gut. And so, no, now you're feeding dehydrated, which you add water, and it turns into kind of like a stew. All right. Mm-hmm. And so they can eat that, and they don't have to rehydrate. The stomach won't rehydrate it, because it already is rehydrated. You put water in it before you fed it. All right. And then with raw. It's already got the moisture in it. All right. So yeah, mm-hmm. she can slam that. Be okay. Where danger comes is if your dog slams the whole nugget. It has to re, and that nugget has to rehydrate in the gut. That is where.
Yeah, that's why I put her on the slow bowl. Yep. She wouldn't.
I get that, but now we don't care. Now we don't care. Believe it or not, she's going to like her food. At first, she's going to, you know, she might suck it down, but all of a sudden, you're going to see her being a little bit more dainty with it instead of sucking down the, like when she does her dry food. Okay.
That would be good, because. Yeah, I know it's way too fast. That's not good for her.
Yeah, but like I say, if she sucks down as fast, you know, if she eats the dehydrated, the raw as fast, that's no problem, okay? Because it's already been rehydrated. Her gut doesn't have to but if she eats dry food like that and slams it without eating it and then goes over and drinks a whole buttload of water to compensate for that dry matter, now that's dangerous, because now it's rehydrating in the gut. All right. So that causes a lot of stomach issues and a lot of stomach problems. But I think you're to find that your dog is carb sensitive, that, you know, when she starts getting really good, where you don't have any more dry food in her, whatever, I think you're going to see her a lot more relaxed and start losing weight. And dinner will be a fun time, not a woof time. Okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Great. Thanks so much.
Okay, kiddo. You have a great day. Thank you much.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye.
Yeah, because, how do you say this? You know, people that are carb addicted in the people world, you can't just eat one potato chip. You know, you're eating more and more, and then pretty soon you're eating them fast.
Yep. I have a bad habit of that.
Yeah. So. Also, you're just smashing them down. Yeah. But when you are enjoying what you're eating and you're taking your time, you know, I mean, like, let's say you're eating lobster. You know, you just, I don't know how to explain it, but it does. The dogs learn to slow down once they get on, you know, especially if they're not carb sensitive. So anyway, because the more carbs you eat, then the more you crave, correct? In the human world and in the dog world. It seems like you're always hungry, that you never feel full. Mm-hmm. And so I notice a difference if I don't have, I usually have 2 eggs for breakfast. And then maybe a sausage or something like that. And if I just decide to just have a couple glasses of water and I'll catch you at lunch.
Yep.
By the time I get to lunch, I'll eat anything. I don't care. Just give it to me. I'm starving. But, you know, if you start out the day right, you know, eating good stuff, you know, you stay full. You're not as, and that's the same thing that's going to happen to the dogs. So, okay, here we go. Let's see. Most of the fresh cut flowers in the United States comes from Pennsylvania, California, Minnesota, or New York. We'll be back. All right, we're winding her down another week. And we're getting down there to the wire, and then we can't listen to hear you for till next week. Okay, most of the fresh cut flowers in the U.S. come from Pennsylvania, California, Minnesota, or New York.
Maybe California.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
California is not only the famous for trees, but also for flowers. When it comes to flower production, California is the number one in the United States. Almost 60% of fresh cut flowers are grown in California.
Oh.
60%. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But then they're having all those fires in California.
Probably not helping too much.
I don't think so. Okay, let's take the last question.
All right. So we have Jill on the line, and she has a question on arthritis in dogs.
Arthritis, all right. Hi, Jill.
Oh, can you hear me?
You betcha, I can hear you now.
Okay, hi. Thanks for taking my question.
Oh, you bet.
I have a 12-and-a-half-year-old American Bulldog. He's a big boy. He's 95 pounds.
My.
And, yeah, he's just recently really been suffering from arthritis in his back legs.
Yep.
And I was just wondering if you had any recommendations on how to keep him comfortable. We've been doing a heating pad. He seems to like that, but just anything else you could suggest?
Okay, first of all, I would strongly suggest a raised bed.
Okay.
So that he is not laying directly on his joints.
Oh, okay.
And so that, and you can, if you look online, you can see what I'm talking about. Mine are like, it's PCV pipe, and then it has the netting on it that is like on outdoor furniture. And then I would just put a bed on top of that, you know, because Zelda, she liked the bed. And then sometimes she just, I had to like, when I go to garage sales, I always looking for like blankets that I can use for dog beds or cow beds. You know what I mean? Something I don't want, but you know, it's a buck. What the heck? But anyway, and so then that would be huge right there. Also too, for if you feel the dog is in any pain, I would strongly recommend Boswellia. B-O-S-W-E-L-L-I-A.
Okay.
Because that's for pain. It takes inflammation out. So for your size, that size of dog, I think you can probably go up to like 1,500 milligrams.
Boswellia?
Boswellia. B-O-S.
Okay. Yep.
B-O-S-W-E-L-L-I-A.
Okay.
It's from the frankincense tree. Okay. And it's good for you too. You know, if you have, instead of taking aspirin, grab some Boswellia.
Okay.
Humans can take up, I think, till 3,000 or 4,000 a day, if I'm not mistaken, milligrams.
Okay.
But anyway,
and what did you recommend for?
About 1,500. You can go up. Don't just start with that. Start out with 500 and build.
Okay.
Okay. And then you can go to a health food store and get Boswellia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another thing with the Boswellia is with us in humans and in animals, whether it's dogs or cats or horses, is joint supplement. MSM is really important. Mom.
Okay.
Okay. And then chondroitin is very important.
Okay.
And a lot of people do the glucosamine, but glucosamine isn't as helpful as the MSM and the chondroitins.
Okay.
Okay. Now, and so you can go, you could, you know, I usually get mine from springtimeinc.com.
Mm-hmm.
Springtimeinc.com. Otherwise, you can try your local, you know, health food stores, because you can also use, you know, human things, whatever it tells you for humans.
Yep.
Okay, you could, well, because you have a 90-pound dog, mm-hmm. that you can give them exactly for a human, what it says for a human. But usually the rule of thumb is, you know, like especially if you have smaller dogs, you cut it in half, okay, what they says for a human. So, but because you have a 100-pound dog partner, I would just, whatever it says for a human, do it.
Okay. Okay, well, great. Those are really helpful.
But what you got to remember to do is ease into it. Just don't all of a sudden start pamming them with it, okay? Take about a week to ease into whatever you're going to get. And then I'm not sure, but you can check vitalplanet.com and see if they've got any MSM. But see, that's right. Springtime has got a really good joint supplement for both horses and dogs that I really like.
Try that.
Yeah, and so, because that's the biggest thing. And then some fish oil, obviously that's good, but, you know, like for the pain. This Boswellia is really good instead of giving aspirin. And then raised bed is huge to get the dog off his joints. And then I don't care how many. Some people, because they don't want the raised bed because they're kind of awkward and they don't have. You can get really a thick piece of foam, you know, like foam that you would put like on a couch that you'd, you know, a poster and put on a couch.
Mm-hmm.
Get a real thick piece because the main thing is get their joints off that floor.
Yeah.
So that they're not, like when they go to get up, you know, they go onto their elbows to pick up themselves and bring their back end up underneath them, you know, type.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and then don't do any more throwing the ball. The ball, but don't throw the ball.
Yeah, all right. He's a bulldog, so there's never been interest in a ball.
Okay, yeah, well, I don't know. There are some dogs that bulls have done that, so that's, you know, no problem. But that's the main thing. You need to, you know, get him exercise, but short walks more often. And, you know, because you don't want him, you know, you need to keep him, you know, his joints going. But by getting a good joint, you know, supplement, and then obviously the fish oil and then the Boswellia for pain, I think, you know, it would work out pretty good for him.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's very helpful.
Okay, good. Good luck.
Okay, thank you so much.
Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
There we go. Yeah, Boswellia for both humans. And, you know, I took some the other day. And are you Catholic?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I know, kind of probably like me, is like, don't go that often. Yeah. I was growing up, I had to go every Sunday, you know, with catechism and all that kind of stuff. Mm. But anyway, I always hated when the priest would do that frankincense clicker, you know, that's in the can, and you walk down the aisle.
Oh, the,
you know,
smelly ting, stuff.
Ting, yeah,
oh,
you know, ting, ting, and that's frankincense and myrrh that's in there, okay? And I remember that. I remember one time I was sitting too close to the end, he came by, and it almost seemed like it got onto my tongue.
Oh.
And it was just like, bleh, bleh, bleh. Okay. And anyway, so then when I started, when I learned about Boswellia, it's made for the frankincense tree. And so every once in a while, if you hold it in your mouth too long before you swallow it, there's a hinge of that frankincense. And it's just like, bah! But no. Anyway, so it's, yeah, but it's well worth it, you know, instead of taking that instead of aspirin. But, and like I said, it's just so natural. It's just, it's pretty cool.
Okay.
But anyway, so yeah, but I still down. Now that's on my tongue. Whereas the powder, the frankincense, yeah, and myrrh.
Yeah, that, I absolutely hated the smell of that.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I would just, then I started covering, you know, I always, you know, oh, here he comes, I gotta cover my face. He started covering my face before I even knew it was, you know, in to cover your face.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But, yeah, so hopefully you guys learned something new today. So I always appreciate you tuning in. And now remember, listen to the first part of the show on that, because finicky eaters and, you rotate, rotate, rotate. Don't listen to your vets when they say, oh, you that's bad for your dog. No, folks, it's right. Remember, dogs were put on the earth to be scavengers, to eat everything and anything, and never skip a beat. They need to have a variety. And then cut back on the food. Just don't give them so much. Cut back on that. Finicky eaters, if you give them too many treats throughout the day, especially small dogs, you fill that stomach up, and now they're full in their treats, and they won't eat what's, you know, what should be good for. All right? And then also, too, we talked about last week a little bit about squeaker toys. I think it was last week, is that if your dog, if you get a squeaker toy and your dog rips it up in 0.2 seconds, don't do that again. Get them toys that do not make a noise, you know, like the Kong toys, like bento balls, S rubber things. Because the thing is that most dogs hate the squeaker sound. That's why they will turn their head and, you know, like, what? Give me that thing. And so by keep giving them those cute toys and they're shredding them, you're teaching your dog to shred things, to rip things up, to destroy them. So don't do that. And now squeaker toys, get those squeakers, because like if you're out on a walk or whatever, and if your dog gets away from you, squeak that toy, they'll automatically turn their head, go, and then start moving the way you need to. Start, you know, kind of scooching and go, come on, let's go. You got the squeaker toys, the squeakers themselves are really good head turners to get the dog's attention, you know, back to you. But a major head up, don't give your dog continuously, like, oh, how long is this one going to last before he rips it up? That's the wrong mentality. You're teaching your dog to be destructive. Don't do that. Try the Kong family. There's so many toys out there that don't make a sound that the dog will happily carry around and not shred. So I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you. Glad to have you back. You did awesome. We didn't have to retrain you.
Thanks.
So we'll see you next week. And don't hide your dogs. Train them. Go to mytalk1071.com to listen to my past shows or to go to my Facebook page. We'll see you later.
Happy trails.